Chapter 8. The frozen, snowy landscape vanished from view, and only the chill in my muscles remained to remind me of the cold clearing I'd left behind. Jaxtum, Mahini, and Zenda let go of each other's hands and looked around with pleased smiles. Then Jax touched his arms and legs, as though verifying they were still there. But Mahini and Zenda had experienced the fast travel sensation before, so they adjusted swiftly. Yeah, all my women were amazing.
Oh, Bash!
Evangeline jumped into my arms before I'd even fully materialized before her.
I missed you so much already. I love this fast travel ability. It's pretty great, isn't it?
Mahini smiled.
What brings you back so soon?
Eva asked as she finally released me from her embrace.
We encountered trouble on the road. What kind of trouble?
Eva frowned as she scanned us over for injuries.
Is everyone okay?
Yeah, no, we're all right. But there's a pile of corpses around our campsite.
Let's build that fire up some more.
Jax grumbled as he moved to the fireplace. His cloak was still dusted with snow, but the flakes were quickly melting.
We should grab some rags to mop up the mess.
I stomped the snow from my boots and I flashed my blonde wife an apologetic smile. Sorry, I didn't think about how much snow we'd track in.
There's nothing to apologize for, husband.
Eva flashed me a brilliant smile before she headed into the kitchen, but she returned a moment later with an armful of absorbent rags to soak up the snow melt sliding from our boots.
I will be better prepared next time.
Well, next time we'll dry our feet first. Now, where's Alyssa and Kalia?
Alyssa just left to meet with the Elder Council, and Kalia is at her store. Would you like me to fetch them for you?
I'll go grab Kales, and then we'll meet everyone at Elrin's house. The Elder Council should hear what I have to say, too.
Is it that bad?
Eva bit her lip.
Is Bastionville in trouble?
No, not yet. I pressed my lips together into a thin line. But I'll explain everything once we're all together. Eva looked like she wanted to question me further, but she merely nodded and pulled on her cloak. Mahini, Jaxtum, and Zenda followed the Duke's daughter out the front door, and I trailed along behind them. It was just a short walk to Kalia's general store, but the wind made it difficult to move quickly. The late morning sun did little to warm my face through the dense gray sky, but there was still a chance it would warm up as the day wore on. I crunched through the snow down the main street of Bastionville, but I had to stop to say hello to several people along the way. Dina promised to send fresh eggs over to my house. Darwin wanted me to confirm to another kid that he was on a first-name basis with me, and a few newcomers introduced themselves. I was starting to grow eager for the warmth of Kalia's store, so I rushed through the last couple of interactions in order to hasten my pace down the street. The bell on the door jingled as I entered, and the dark-skinned goddess looked up with a friendly smile on her face. Then Kalia's chocolate eyes lit up with delight when she saw me walk in, and she quickly emerged from behind the counter to slide into my arms.
Oh, I've missed you.
Kalia breathed as I squeezed her against me.
How's the weather on the road to the north?
Oh, cold. I was definitely ready to take a quick stop at home, if only to thaw out my toes.
I'm glad you stopped in to see me. I've been tied to the counter all morning long. Business is booming, but oh my, is it exhausting.
What happened to your hired hands? I frowned as I glanced around at the empty shop.
I give them one day off a week. It's just been a busier day than I was expecting.
Well, I'm glad you have time for me. I smirked.
I always have time for my favorite customer.
Kalia said with a wink. Well, there's nowhere else I'd rather shop. I'd like to add another fur-lined tunic to my collection while I'm here.
I have one.
Kalia smiled brightly and moved between the densely packed shelves. But the way she swung her hips had me thinking about something else entirely. Oh, it had been way too long since I'd been inside the gorgeous shopkeeper, and I glanced around the empty store as an idea began to take root in my mind. Hold on, I murmured as I grabbed her by the hips and pulled her backward against me. My bulge pressed into the generous curves of her ass, and the warmth spread through my groin. I've finally got you all to myself.
Well, in that case...
Kalia said as she rolled her hips into mine.
We'd better lock the front door.
I'm on it. I chuckled as I reluctantly released her and moved toward the front door.
I swung the open sign around until it read closed, and then I slid the bar across the door. But when I turned around, Kalia was right behind me. Her chocolate eyes were full of adoration and desire as she gazed up at me, and I lost myself in the melted chocolate goodness.
Much better.
Then the dark-skinned goddess grabbed me by the hips and pulled me against her once more, and our lips met instinctively. The kiss deepened as our tongues roamed around each other's mouths, and I sucked on her bottom lip until she moaned with pleasure. She bit me in return, and the embrace turned passionate and urgent.
I agree, I said when we finally came up for air, and my cock was already throbbing against the restraint of my pants.
Kalia began to fumble with the ties, keeping my dick contained, so I quickly helped undo the straps and pushed my pants off my hips. Then I yanked my shirt over my head as my cock sprang free from its bindings, and the beautiful shopkeeper licked her lips eagerly.
Oh, easy, tiger. You're slacking. Off with the dress.
All right.
Kalia giggled, and she dutifully began to undo the ties holding her bust together.
I was in a hurry, though, so I grabbed the front of her dress and ripped with all my strength. The fabric gave way beneath my fists, and Kalia gasped as her perfectly perky breasts were exposed to the merchandise. I tore her dress off her arms and pulled it over her hips until she stood completely naked before me. The only windows in the store were filled with curtained-off displays, so I wasn't worried about anyone seeing inside.
Whew. Beautiful. Then I lowered myself to my knees, and I cupped her ass cheeks to bring her delicious pussy to my lips. Her skin tasted of chocolate and cream, and I licked every fold as I held her against my face.
Oh, gosh.
Kalia whimpered and buried her fingers in my hair to hold herself steady, but her legs spread to give me better access at the same time.
Oh, that feels so good.
I found her slit with the tip of my tongue, and I flicked upward until Kalia gasped for air, but I also pressed my fingers against her entrance from behind. The shopkeeper twitched and panted as she clung to my scalp for dear life, but I didn't relent until I felt the warm gush of her love juices coating my lips.
Bash.
Kalia moaned as I lapped up her sweet syrup.
You made me all wet.
Just as you should be. I rubbed her slippery clit with my fingers as she rocked her hips back and forth, but then I slid my digits inside her warm entrance. Are you ready for my cock?
Yes, I want you inside me.
Kalia confirmed, and she peered down at me with a seductive smile.
I want you to fill me with your seed.
As you wish. I murmured against her inner thigh, but then I trailed my kisses higher and higher as I rose to my full height. My cock stood at attention, and it arched toward her warmth like a metal detector finding gold in the sand. I pulled her into my arms, and she stood on her tiptoes until my member slid between her thighs to rub against her slippery entrance. Kalia rocked her hips back and forth to slide her pussy lips across my shaft, and she shivered with pleasure when my tip pressed against her clit. I cupped her face in my hands and brought her lips to mine once more, and we backed up into the shelf behind us as our tongues danced. Then I closed my eyes and lost myself in the sensation of my fiancé's presence. Kalia took control of the kiss, and she pressed me into a different shelf as it became more passionate. Merchandise clattered to the floor, but we didn't even glance down. Now nothing else mattered except feeling her in my hands. Fuck, I want you. I breathed in her ear as I lifted her curls and nibbled on her neck.
I'm yours.
Kalia moaned, and her hands trailed down my chest to my rigid member.
Take me.
Oh, fuck yes. I growled, and I twirled her around until she was facing the shelf across from me. Kalia giggled and grasped onto the shelf with both hands as she spread her legs open. I was inside the dark-skinned goddess an instant later, and she squealed when I buried my full length deep inside her pussy. I gripped her hips and pulled her onto my cock, but she quickly picked up on my rhythm and started to match the pace I set. The shelf rocked back and forth with each thrust, and more items tumbled to the floor.
Oh, bash!
Kalia arched her back and moaned as another orgasm seized her entire body, but I continued to fuck her fast and furiously. Her pussy spasmed around my cock, and needles of pleasure shot up my spine.
Oh, fuck!
I loved hearing my women use my earth lingo, and I slammed my cock deep into her dripping wet entrance even harder. Kalia squeaked with each thrust, and she drove her ass onto me with matching force until my balls began to tingle. Oh, hold on, I murmured as I reluctantly slid out of her well of pleasure. Turn around. Kalia obediently spun around, and she lifted one of her legs into my arm, almost as though she could read my thoughts. I slowly slid back inside her, but she was even tighter at this angle, and I groaned with delight over each excruciatingly pleasurable inch. Oh, fuck, you're squeezing me so good.
I love you making you feel good,
Kalia said, but then she began to slide herself up and down my shaft. Oh, fuck! I gasped as my chocolate-skinned lover started to fuck me while standing up. I grabbed her other leg and lifted her up until I was holding her under the ass, and then I took control of the pace and intensity. I slowed way down, and I lifted her up my shaft at a tantalizing speed. I built up the momentum bit by bit, but then I was slamming her back down onto my cock at full force.
I'm going to...
Come all over my dick, babe! I growled, and I squeezed her hips firmly as I jackhammered her pulsating pussy. Kalia flung her head backward, dug her nails into my shoulders, and leaned back until her breasts were pressed into my chest. Her pussy walls clamped down on my dick like an oiled fist, and I had to grit my teeth to keep hold of my self-control. Oh, fuck. Keep coming on my cock, Kales. Don't stop. It feels wonderful. I kept up my unending assault on her hot, swollen entrance until I felt all her muscles stiffening. But then I buried my cock as deep as it would go inside her tunnel, and Kalia began to spasm.
Oh, fuck!
Kalia's eyes were wild and unfocused as the pleasure overwhelmed her, but her orgasm didn't show any signs of slowing down. The beautiful shopkeeper spasmed and rocked her hips as an expression of pure bliss graced her gorgeous face, and I watched with rapt fascination as she enjoyed her long climax. Then her muscles suddenly relaxed, and she melted into my arms. You liked that, huh? I chuckled as her twitches slowly subsided.
Oh, yes.
She leaned forward to rest her head against my shoulder, so I caressed her back with one hand while I held her up with the other. I'm not done with you yet, but I'll let you catch your breath.
There's more?
Kalia perked up and licked her lips. Oh, yes. Then I carried her over to the counter and I placed her on her feet before I turned her back around so her ass was facing me. Oh, I loved watching her juicy cheeks bouncing on my dick, and I especially enjoyed the way her cream coated my shaft more and more with each orgasm. I slid inside her easily, since she was wetter than I'd ever seen her before, and we groaned in unison at the pleasurable sensation of becoming one again. I paused, once I was all the way inside her tunnel, and I pressed loving kisses on her shoulders.
Oh, Bash.
Kalia shivered and wiggled her ass, and I could feel my cock twitch with excitement inside her.
I want your seed. I want your baby.
Oh, keep doing that, and you'll get exactly what you want. The shopkeeper flashed me a devilish grin over her shoulder, and then she began to twist and dip her hips in a seductive motion. Her pussy gripped and massaged my cock with every movement, and I leaned back to let her do her thing. It was better than any show in a strip club back on Earth, and the rhythmic motions of her ass mesmerized me. I smacked her ass cheeks on the beat of her motions, and the shopkeeper squealed with delight as she thrust backward with even more force. Oh, fuck yes! I groaned as my balls began to tingle.
Harder!
Kalia whimpered, and a sheen of sweat began to build up on her lower back.
I can feel it happening again!
I didn't need any further prompting, so I gripped her by the hips before I slammed my cock into her with hard, heavy thrusts, and the harder I fucked her, the louder she moaned. Then Kalia shivered and stiffened, and I could feel her pussy walls pulsating around my shaft. But a moment later, a gush of warmth exploded onto my balls. My lover's wet orgasm was too much for me to stand, and my willpower withered as my desire overwhelmed me. Oof, my turn! I hissed through clenched teeth as I released my hold on my self-control. My cock twitched and erupted instantly, and I could feel the veins pulsing as my load sprayed into Kalia's warm tunnel. I pushed as deep inside her as I could go, and I unloaded another blast against her cervix, then another, and another, until she must have been stuffed with at least a pint of my creamy love.
Oh, I love it when you fill me up with your seed.
Kalia murmured, and she stretched out like a happy kitten without letting my cock slide out of her tunnel.
Oh, it makes me feel so good knowing your power is inside me.
Oh, there's more where that came from, I said, and I rocked my hips pointedly. Unless you're done.
I could make love to you for the rest of my life without pause.
Kalia said without hesitation, and she gripped the counter with both hands as she pressed her hips against mine. We should eventually get to the meeting, but we still have time. I always had the time to fuck. I was the god of time, after all. Elrin and the others would understand if it took us a little while to make it over to his house, and I'd be able to focus on the dragon-worshipping cult problem a lot better, after blowing off some steam. With that settled in my head, I put away all other thoughts besides Kalia, and we continued to enjoy each other's bodies until we'd both orgasmed countless more times. Every muscle in my body was relaxed by the time we laid on the floor, catching our breaths, and I flashed Kalia a loving smile. You're amazing. We should have been doing this since the day we met.
Oh, good things come to those who wait.
Kalia winked.
I needed time to learn to trust you. I was very shy.
I remember. Not so much anymore.
It's harder to be shy when you're on the arm of a god. It can grant one a lot of confidence.
I'm sorry for making a mess of the store, I said, as I gestured to the merchandise we'd knocked off the shelves. I'll clean it up.
We'll do it together.
Kalia grinned and pushed herself to her feet.
Just let me grab a fresh dress from the back first.
I nodded and waved her on, and she disappeared into the back room. It took me a few moments to gather the energy to even stand up, but then I pulled on my clothes, picked up my lover's torn clothes, and assessed the damage we'd caused to the store. The shelf Kalia had leaned against was crooked, and the aisle in front of it was covered in goods. But it could have been worse. Kalia emerged a moment later in a simple blue dress with a white apron, and we worked together to return the store to its original condition. Then the beautiful merchant pulled a fur-lined tunic off one of the shelves and handed it over to me with a wide grin.
I hope this helps you stay warm on your travels.
I pulled the tunic over my regular shirt, and then I pulled on my heavy cloak. Inside the warm store, the clothes felt like too much, but I knew I would be grateful for them when I was exposed to the icy wind on the road. Oh, it's fantastic. Thank you. I leaned down and hooked my finger under her chin to bring her lips to mine, and her mouth opened ever so slightly to allow my tongue entrance. The kiss was slow, romantic, and full of our love for each other, and I wanted to freeze time to make it last forever. I intended to marry the beautiful store owner, and I wanted to provide her with every luxury so our future children would grow up like princes and princesses. When we parted, I could see all the love we shared visible in her eyes, and I held her gaze for a long moment.
Time to go.
Kalia's lips twitched into a smile as she grabbed her cloak. Yes. All right, let's do it. It didn't take long for us to reach Elrin's house from Kalia's store, and the windows on the first floor were brightly illuminated from within, despite it being the middle of the day. We leaned forward to brace ourselves against the wind, and we trotted the last few steps to reach the porch. Dalwin answered when I knocked on the door, and the young boy led me into the dining room. The Elder Council and my women waited for me, and I waved at everyone as I entered the room. Jaxtum and Toria were seated next to Theodora, but I was surprised to see Sarosh across the table from them. Ryandale also leaned against a doorframe, and he jerked his chin at me in greeting. Elrin took the chair beside the priestess, and Mahini, Alyssa, Eva, and Zenda filled the remaining seats. Kalia and I filed in and took the last two chairs, but they left the seat at the head of the table open for me. The room was just as I remembered it, and the familiar faces staring back at me filled with ease. No matter what troubles we'd encountered, we'd always been able to figure them out together, and there wasn't anyone I trusted more in all the land. "Ah, thanks for waiting for me," I said, and my eyes flicked to Kalia of their own accord. "I got sidetracked at the store."
"That means they fucked,"
Alyssa interjected with a bright smile. Everyone laughed and nodded in agreement, but Ryandale at least had the decency to look uncomfortable. The God of Time was well known for his voracious sexual appetite, it seemed.
"It was no bother, Bash,"
Sarosh said with a serene smile.
"We still had some small-town business to wrap up while we waited."
"How is everything around here?" I asked the table at large.
"All is well in Bastionville, Bash,"
Elrin assured me.
"Please, tell us what you've brought us all together for."
Elrin's servants brought in a tea service tray just then, and we all watched as the older woman poured Kalia and myself a cup. I stirred in some sugar, and then I looked around the table at all my friends and wives. "There is a new enemy in Soriol," I said in my godly voice. While we didn't encounter them until we were on the northern side of Argonold Hold, they could still venture this far south to cause problems for the town.
"What kind of enemies?"
Eva narrowed her eyes, and her hands instinctively leapt to her thighs where she usually kept throwing knives strapped. "Well, easy, there's no fire yet." Eva and Zenda glanced around the room as though searching for flames before they gave me quizzical looks, but I just flashed them a wink. "A cult attacked our campsite. They believe the dragons will return to this world, and they claim responsibility for Smeagol's sudden appearance."
A cult?
Kalia frowned.
"What is that?"
It's a group of people brainwashed to think something crazy. There's usually a lot of fucked up stuff happening with cults, so I'm not sure what they'll do next. They were able to sense the presence of the dragon egg somehow, and that bothers me. I'd mentioned the egg to my general, lovers, and blacksmith before, so they weren't exactly surprised to hear about it. "We could take the army north," Ryandale suggested. "Clear out their headquarters ahead of your journey." "Eh, that would take too much time," I said with a shake of my head. "I can fast travel myself and the others back to the north, but I wouldn't be able to manage that with the entire army."
"Will the recall ability even work with people who didn't travel with you in the first place?"
Zenda tilted her head to the side as she considered the variables.
"Jaxtum, Mahini, and I were with you, but the amulet might not be able to return anyone else to the original position."
"Yeah, there's still a lot of things to learn about the amulets of Zyne, but I haven't even transported a horse yet, so I definitely don't think it would be possible to move an entire army with the amulets."
"What you're saying is it's up to us to kill these cult bastards."
"Yup," I nodded curtly. "But we aren't alone. That's why I brought us back to Bastionville. Many heads are better than one."
"We should eliminate the threat as swiftly as possible."
Mahini said, as she crossed her arms over her chest and leaned back in her chair. Her ice-blue eyes blazed with bloodlust, and her violent thoughts were plain to see.
Hunt them down. If they summoned the dragon somehow, then it's possible they could do it again. We can't let that happen.
Oh, I won't, I assured the blonde.
Oh, Bash, what if another dragon comes?
Toria shivered and leaned into Jax.
Bastionville wouldn't stand a chance.
Why, that's not true, I said, and I gave the innkeeper a reassuring smile. I've killed a dragon before, so we know they're not immortal. We have the cannons and an army at our backs, so we're in better shape than we were when Smeagol was flying around before.
There's too many unanswered questions.
Eva shook her head.
How exactly did they bring Smeagol into this world?
I'll figure it all out, love, I promised. But I was wondering if anyone has heard of this cult before. They are led by a man they call His Supreme Lord Caldera, but that could be a false name.
Caldera sounds familiar.
Zenda tapped a finger against her chin.
Isn't that the name of a mountain island in the Eastern Ocean? Why don't you just recruit them into your following, Bash?
Alyssa leaned her elbows on the table and fluttered her eyelashes at me.
You're always convincing people to give up their destructive ways.
Well, my red-haired wife had a point. The possible knowledge and magic I could gain from bringing the cultists into the fold was highly appealing. But I could always have my cake and eat it, too. I was the god of time, and I could do whatever the fuck I wanted to.
They don't seem to have a wide reach yet. Maybe they're not even from Soriel.
No, we were closer to the Northern Reach's border when we ran into them. I agreed. I glanced around the table to see if anyone else had anything to add, but the group was silent. Elrin was quiet as he steepled his fingers beneath his chin, but Theodora looked like she'd rather be anywhere else at the moment, and she gave me a sheepish smile when we made eye contact.
Healing is my business,
the apothecary said.
Bring me a wound and I'm your woman. This cult thing is outside my area of expertise.
Yep, fair enough. Does anyone else have anything to add?
Be careful,
Elrin said. Don't take any flack.
Come back in one piece.
We'll give 'em hell,
Jaxtum promised, and the blacksmith kissed his wife and pushed himself to his feet.
About time we continued our hunt for that volcano, ain't it?
Do you have time for dinner before you go?
Eva's smoky gray eyes were full of hope. Yeah, absolutely, I said, as my face split into a shit-eating grin. But then we have to get back on the road. With the meeting adjourned, my women and I crossed town to our house to enjoy a meal together before I returned to my adventure. Then my wives, fiancé, and lover worked together to whip up something hot and delicious. I'd introduced them to a few dishes from Earth since I'd come to this medieval fantasy world, and I was beyond pleased when they presented me with their version of a cheeseburger.
The potatoes are crunchy just the way you like,
Alyssa announced as we all sat around the table.
I didn't even splash myself with the hot oil this time.
It seemed I could add French fries to the list of things I taught my women now, and I eagerly scooped up the slivers of potato and shoved them into my mouth.
Oh, they're amazing,
I moaned as the flavors hit my taste buds. Totally worth it.
It's nice to have a hot meal after being out in the cold weather,
Mahini said as she picked up her own fries.
Yeah, these fast travel amulets are the gifts that keep on giving, I grinned.
I never heard of such a dish,
Zenda said as she peered closely at her cheeseburger.
It resembles a sandwich. I never would have thought to stack everything in such a way.
Kalia agreed.
What will Bash think up next?
Watch and see, babe, I smirked. After we finished eating, Mahini, Zenda, and I met up with Jaxtum. The blacksmith gave Toria a passionate goodbye kiss before he pulled his heavy cloak over his head, and then we all joined hands to return back to the north. I cast one last look around at Bastionville, and a pleased smile stretched across my lips. I'd done a fine job of creating a wonderful place to live, and my town was in good hands while I traipsed across the world. Knowing I could come back at any moment put my heart at ease, and I let out a breath as I began the motions for the fast travel spell.
Bloop.
The snow whirled around us as we materialized in the clearing where we'd camped the evening before, but the sunlight was quickly fading, so we entered our tent and settled in for the night. My companions told stories about previous winter escapades, and we were all in high spirits as we fell asleep. Despite the threat of a cult standing between us and our goal, we were all confident in our abilities to be able to handle whatever came our way. We resumed our journey to the north the next morning, but the sun barely penetrated the heavy clouds of snow that blanketed the sky. After enjoying the warmth of Elrin's and my houses, it was challenging to endure the chilly air, but our thick clothes helped to shield us from the cold air. The horses and mules stomped their feet in the snow, and their breaths formed clouds of steam around their muzzles, but we had them wrapped up in warm saddle blankets and leg pads to protect their hooves. I wasn't sure how they'd handle the more intense weather we would likely encounter the further north we traveled, but there had to be a stable where we could board them before it got that bad. We didn't come across any other travelers for several days, and we made good time down the frozen road. Our conversations during the day were sparse, since talking into the cold wind was a challenge, but at night the tent was filled with laughter and stories. Zenda came out of her shell more and more with each passing day, until she was teasing Jaxtum and Mahini like she'd known them for years, and it warmed my heart to see her interacting with them. She taught us all a few words in the Zaborian tongue, and soon we were slipping in and out of the common language. I expected we'd have our own secret language by the time our journey was over. Mahini's belly swelled slightly as the days passed, and the warrior woman adopted the habit of resting a protective hand over her belly while she rode. It wouldn't be much longer before it was obvious she was pregnant, and the thought of my baby growing in her belly always brought a smile to my face. A week passed without any events, and I was beginning to wonder if we'd ever find another town again, when steep white walls suddenly came into view ahead. The frozen boundary looked like it was made from pure ice, but it could be an illusion from the snow covering everything. I could see the distant shape of men patrolling the ramparts with spears, and I let out a breath in relief. We would be staying indoors that night, and that in itself was a blessing. I clucked my tongue to Goliath to urge him onward at a faster pace, and my companions mirrored me. Then we trotted across the distance toward the city with eagerness written all over our faces, and the chill in the air was all but forgotten as we hurried toward our destination. There was a break in the tree line about 100 yards away from the city walls, and a wooden sign hung between two posts on the side of the road. I slowed my pace so I could get a good look at it, and I grinned when I read the words carved into the wood. The Northern Reaches. Well, the god of time had arrived in the north.